We're going to talk today about the tribulation period in the millennial kingdom. And next week, we're going to end with the new heaven and new earth. And I hope that during this time of study and prophecy, we have come to understand that there are a lot of things that we say when we're dealing with human nature and grieving and stuff that sometimes not theologically or biblically true, but we say it to be kind, and there's nothing wrong with it because the eventual fact, many of it will come true. For instance, when someone passes away, yes, they go to heaven and they get that new spirit, and therefore there's no more pain, no more suffering, the bodies are totally fixed. So that's all true the moment when someone passes, when they're saved in the Lord. But we always talk about it, no more sorrows, no more grieving. And in all reality, that's not exactly true. People in heaven have emotions to understand what's happening. The Bible tells us that there's rejoicing in heaven for every person that accepts Christ, which means they have the emotions to rejoice. I believe they also have the emotions to understand the sorrow. Because it isn't until the new heaven and new earth at the end of the book of Revelation where it says all the sorrows and death and pain are wiped away. And so to me, we're studying on a theological basis, and I think it's been healthy. We've talked about the signs of the time. We've talked about the rapture and the second coming. We talked about all those things. And today we're going to talk about the tribulation period in the millennial kingdom. Let's first start with the tribulation period. And what I'm going to do today is I'm going to give you some points that are important to remember. These are items to remember or key points in the tribulation. And then we're going to read a number of passages of scriptures to support what I've given you in points. And I'll try to point out where that is. The first thing I want to say is that the tribulation period is a seven-year period of time after the Christians have been raptured. If you were with us a week or two ago or last week, you know the rapture is a term in the Latin that means to be caught up. That's when Christians that are dead or alive all through the centuries will be caught up in the air to meet Jesus Christ, and we will go to heaven during this seven-year period of time, which we talked about last week. We talked about the marriage supper, the celebration, the reuniting with our friends and family that are there. But those that are left behind will go through the seven-year period of time after the Christians have been raptured. Secondly, the seven years are divided into half, 3.5 years of peace and 3.5 years of pain. During this seven-year period of time, and we can't fully explain what's going to be told about all this, number of millions of people being gone. We're not going to share how the government's going to respond worldwide or locally or whatever, but we do know, and we're going to talk about this in a second, there's going to be a political individual that will rise up to be world leader, and there will be a religious leader that will rise up to be the religious leader, and those two will work together. And during the first 3.5 years of this tribulation, it's going to be a time where they work together and they try to solve problems and they try to keep peace and wars go down. There's a peace treaty that's written and signed with the nation of Israel to create a peace treaty between Gentiles and Jews. And that's all good until right at the middle of it, there's going to be a breaking of that peace treaty, and there's going to be all kinds of things start happening between the judgments from heaven on the world and the destruction of the Antichrist and the false prophet, the political and religious leaders here on this earth. But it's divided in three and a half periods of time. Let me give you some key points about the tribulation period. First of all, judgment will begin. And it will begin really from the beginning of that first 7 years. There will be famines, there will be pestilence, there will be diseases, there will be all kinds of these things because the restraining Holy Spirit will be gone. And the thing that's been holding back all the turmoil that Satan can do has been the Holy Spirit. And when we are raptured out, that covering and that resistance from God to hold back the evilness of this world and Satan's attempts will be released because we will be gone. Second of all, the Antichrist and false prophets will rise up. And as I said, especially if you're new here, maybe catch up a little bit, the Antichrist will be an individual that has been rising up in power, that is looked to as being kind of the savior of the world. The word anti can mean one of two things. It can mean opposite of Christ or one that seems to be like Christ. It can be one that is totally contrast, or can appear at first to be someone who is the savior of the world. And this will be a political leader. Many theologians believe this will be a person that is has Jewish blood, but has lived in Gentile world, which means it could be somebody involved, you know, and this is speculative, this is not biblical, but or scriptural, but it could be somebody that is alive now. It could be part of the UN, could be part of the European Common Market, could be part of many believe, and I believe, will have a Jewish bloodline, but be working in a Gentile world. The false prophet will rise up to be the spiritual leader of the world, be recognized by many to be the person that will bring all religions together. And obviously, Christianity will be somewhat decimated because those that are true believers won't be here. So it will be rise up and bring all the faiths together. And that will be the answer. It will be these two individuals that will rise up, and the false prophet will give allegiance to the Antichrist, and the Antichrist will lead, and then all of a sudden, at that middle of the 7.5 period of time, at the 3.5-year mark, these two individuals will obviously have a compact to fight against Israel, begin to go back to another attempt of the Holocaust, and get into the final battle, the Battle of Armageddon. But those are the two individuals. The Antichrist will sign a peace treaty with Israel then, and halfway through the tribulation, break that treaty. We just talked about that. The next one will be is that worldwide famine will take place, causing rationing of food. And only those who have the mark of the beast, and another term for the Antichrist is beast, will be able to buy food. And this is interesting because the number of man there's a numerical system in Scripture, by the way. You're going to see more of that even next week about what happens in the new heaven and new earth. But the numerical system, for instance, is the number 7 is the number given to God, going back to when God rested on the seventh day of creation. The number 6 has always been given the number of a man or of mankind. The Bible talks about that there will be a number given to man, and the beast will assign this number, the Antichrist will assign this number, and you cannot buy and sell unless you have the number 666. And I know that sounds like some kind of movie reference from something dealing with Charles Manson and stuff, and we all think that's kind of mystical, but it's biblical. And we can't fully understand how this would work, but here's what my, you know, 35 years ago when I was preaching, I couldn't understand how this mark would be. Would it be a tattoo on your hand or forehead? But with everything we see today, with all the fraud using with credit cards and ATM cards and stuff, and we've gone to a moneyless society for the most part, and you know there's always this, you know, your identity theft and all this, and there's always been trying to a solution that's with dealing with electronics, and dealing with technology to solve the problem where your accounts can't be hacked or stuff. And you have your card, now you put your card in the gas station, and if they have a reader on there, they can take all your information. So they put the chip to see if the chip would solve the problem. But some have mentioned that there may come a time to where your credit card will be an embedment into your hand that only you could ever use. And, you know, with the scanning and stuff there, I don't know how it's going to happen, but this mark is going to solve the problem of famine, because instead of the rich keeping everything and the poor starving, it's going to be a rationing of food, and you're going to have this credit mark or whatever it may be to be able to buy, sell, and to be involved in the ability to eat and to take care of your families. And we'll talk about that in Scriptures in a second here. The next point I want to make about the key points of the tribulation will end with the Battle of Armageddon and Christ's second coming, which we talked about Christ's second coming last week. The Battle of Armageddon, it's interesting because, you know, there have been movies made. There's a movie called Armageddon. You know, it's a great, one of my favorite movies, but I'm a Bruce Willis fan because bald guy with beard, yeah, why not, you know? But it's a thing to where it gave this idea about the end of the world, you know, being that destruction there and stuff through some kind of a asteroid or something. But, you know, we got used to that word. But the Battle of Armageddon, and basically is this, is near the end of the tribulation period, there's going to be a move to destroy Israel. And nations from around the world, including China, Russia, many nations will come into attack and surround the nation of Israel to do this final battle to finally eradicate the Jewish people. And in the course of the middle of this, they're going to be what's called the Valley of Megiddo, the Valley of Esdraelon. And in this place, as the Bible records the fact, and we may not get all this today in Scripture, but that the battle will have, as the hide of the blood will rise as high as to the bridles of the horses. And right in the middle of this big giant battle, Armageddon, the heavens were open, and Jesus Christ and all those that were raptured with him and all the saints in the Old Testament will come, and they will join and come down, and he will set up his kingdom and stop this battle. And the two leaders that have caused all this havoc, the Antichrist and false prophet, he will lock them away, and he will set up his kingdom, and that will begin the thousand-year millennial kingdom of Christ here on this planet here. I want you to know, this planet one day will be destroyed totally, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth created, which we're going to describe next week. The Bible tells us after the flood that God promised that he would never destroy the world with water again, but it will be destroyed with fire one day. And you say, you can't even comprehend that, but that's what the Bible teaches. And so Jesus will set up his kingdom. Now, I've given you a lot of stuff. Now we're going to read some scriptures. And as I go through these scriptures, and they will be on your screen, or if you have your Bible or a Bible app, whatever you're comfortable doing, you have your notes there. And as I go through this, and I don't have a copy of the note here, I didn't get one this morning. So after church, if I miss a word, you're supposed to fill in and let me know, because I usually have it here, but I didn't get one this morning. So, I'm going to read these scriptures, and in these scriptures, I'm going to try to explain everything I just talked about the tribulation period. We're first going to begin with Matthew 24 and verse number 4 to 31. So Jesus answered, and this is a question dealing with the fact about how we know about your coming. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am Messiah, and I will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars." Some of this are the signs of the times, and some of this go right in from the signs of the time into the tribulation period. But see that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pangs. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and be put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. And that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of the world, or the love of most, will grow cold. But the one who stands firm will be saved to the end. Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. We'll be saved to the end. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand, then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. And that frame there, the terminology there, go back one slide, if you could. Back one slide, and then that phrase there, desolation, I'm trying to find my notes here, is it up there? Okay. Okay, I'm trying to see here in the notes here. The abomination that causes desolation spoken through Daniel. That abomination of desolation is this. When the first 3.5 years peace treaty is made with the nation of Israel, they are allowed to be able to have their sacrifices for the first time back into the temple in Jerusalem. And at that 3.5 mark, the Antichrist is going to come in, dissolve that pact with them, that agreement, that contract, that treaty with them, and he's going to create that as an abomination of desolation. He's going to destroy the temple, and that's what that's referring to in that 3.5 period of time. So we're at verse number 15 now. So when you see the standing in the holy place, the abomination that causes desolation spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one of the housetop go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful will be those days of a pregnant woman and the nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequal from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equal again. In those days, if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive, but for the sake of the elect, those days would be shortened. At that time, if anyone says, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, there he is, out of the wilderness, do not go out. Here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there will be vultures to gather. Immediately after the stress of those days, and the stress of those days referring to the tribulation periods, it's called the great period of distress, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then will appear the Son of Man in heaven, the second coming. And then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds with glory, with power and glory. And he will send his angels with loud trumpets call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds and from one in the heavens to the other. This is referring, some of the overlaps here. It goes from being the signs of the time into the tribulation period, into the second coming of Christ. But basically it's talking about that abomination of desolation is the fact that when you see that the temple has been decimated by the Antichrist in that mid part of the tribulation, that's when all hell will break loose. And that's what he wanted them to know. Now let's go into Revelation and hopefully bring some of this together. It says Revelation chapter 13, verse 1 through 18. The dragon stood on the shore of the sea. The dragon is another word, obviously, for Antichrist. And I saw the beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on the horns, and of each head was a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but he had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to be had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. People worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast, and they all worshipped the beast and asked, who is like this beast? Who can wage war against it? The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemous and to exercise his authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and the dwelling place and those who live in heaven. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people and conquer them. It was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship this beast, and whose name was slain from the creation of the world. Whoever has ears, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity they will go. And if anyone is to be killed by the sword, with the sword they will be killed. The cause for patience, endurance, and faithfulness on the part of God's people. Then I saw the second beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. It exercises authority of the first beast on its behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast. This is where the false prophet tells people to worship and give allegiance to the Antichrist here, whose fatal wound had been healed. And it performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of the people. Because of the signs, it was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast. It deceived the inhabitants of the earth and ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. The second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. It also forced people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had this mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. That number is 666. So if you ever wondered if these number systems were in scriptures, they definitely are. This is a situation, I don't want to get into the weeds, but these are a situation where the false prophet tells everybody to give allegiance to the political leader, and together they begin to create all kinds of havoc. And the last part there verifies what I said in my opening, is that you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade anything unless you have the mark of the beast. Let's go on. We've got a couple more scriptures here in this package here. Daniel, Old Testament here. It says this: while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier visions, came to me in a swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said, Daniel, I have come to give you insight, prophecy, and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. 77s are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgressions, to put an end to sin and to atone for wickedness and to bring everlasting righteousness and to seal up vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy place. No one understand this. From the time that the word goes out to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the appointed one and the ruler comes, there will be 77s or 62 sevens. It will be rebuilt with streets and trenches, but in times of trouble. After 62 sevens, the anointed one will be put to death and will have nothing. The people of the rulers who have come to destroy the city and the sanctuary, they will come like a flood. War will continue until the end, and desolation has been decreed. He will, and this is the part about the contract covenant treaty with Israel from the Antichrist. This is a prophecy here, verse 27. He will confirm a covenant, a treaty, with many ones, seven. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to the sacrifice and offering, and at the temple he will set up an abomination that causes desolation until the end that is decreed is poured out on him. The end obviously being the Antichrist and the false prophet being captured. All these scriptures are blended in. You may have to read them afterwards, take your notes and stuff, but here's what's happening here. The Old Testament Daniel prophet had a vision given by God about what would take place near the end of times and during the tribulation period. And then one last scripture in this section here, and to bring it all together. Then I heard a loud voice, this is Revelation 16, 1 through 16, and I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, go pour out seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth. The first angel went out and poured out his bowl on the land. And ugly, festering sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and worshiped its image. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it turned into blood like that of a dead person, and every living creature in the sea died. The third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. Then I heard an angel in charge of the waters say, you are just in these judgments, O Holy One, you who are and who were. For they have shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, and you have given them the blood to drink as they deserve. I heard the altars respond, yes, Lord, O God, mighty, true and just with your judgments. The fourth angel poured out his bow on the sun, and the sun was allowed to be scorched people with fire. They were seared by their intense heat, and they cursed the name of God, who had control over these plagues, but they refused to repent and glorify him. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in agony and cursed the God in heaven because of their pains and their sores, but they refused to repent of what they had done. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters were dried up to prepare the way of the king of the east. Then I saw three impure spirits that looked like frogs, and they came out of the mouth of dragons, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are demonic spirits that perform signs. They go out to the kings of the whole world to gather them for the battle for that great day of God Almighty. Look, I come like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and remains closed, so that not to go naked and shamefully exposed. Then they gather the kings together to the place in the Hebrew word that is called Armageddon. And there's a lot of scripture I read, and I know, especially here for the first time, you might not know all the rough. The first week we did all the terms. We defined all the terms we're going to use for the most part through the series. But let me just wrap this up to get to the Millennial Kingdom, because I want to spend just a few minutes there. This is the time of trouble. And the Old Testament calls it Jacob's trouble. This is the time that's prophesied by Daniel. This is what was talked about in Revelations and in Matthew 24. But to give it a synopsis, real here in a summary, a one-minute summary, when the rapture takes place until the second coming of Christ, there's a seven-year period of time on this earth that is going to be chaotic. It's going to be suffering. There's going to be judgments from heaven, from God, upon those that rejected and followed Satan, because the basic thing is that the beast and false prophet are influenced, and at one time during the tribulation, I believe that Satan actually embodies this person, possesses this person of the Antichrist. And so now what's happening here during this, especially the last 3.5 years, I want you to get your mind on this. Now, we know that Satan and God have been at odds, that God has sent Christ to save us, and God has done all these glorious things, but there's been a great battle between evil and good, between demonic and godly, between God and Satan. And all of a sudden, the last 3.5 years of tribulation, the embodiment of Satan is going to take this leader and going to begin to do everything that he can to destroy any creation of God, including his own people, including the people of the earth, the seas or whatever, and it's going to be now this open warfare between demonic. And the only thing that this demonic person can do in that 3.5 years, since he can't go to heaven and attack God, he's going to attack everything that God created. He's going to starve the people. He's going to abuse the people. He's going to do all these things. And it's going to come down to a big battle of God's chosen people, the Israelites, the Jewish people in Israel. They're all going to converge there. And Satan's going to be there embodied in this Antichrist, this beast with the false prophet. And they're going to try to destroy that last creation of God, the last amount of people that call themselves Jews. The final Holocaust is going to take place. And right in the middle of this attempt to do this, Jesus Christ is going to split the skies open and come back and do away with these two individuals. They're going to set up a millennial kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years. And those that follow back with him, they'll be raptured up. That'd be you and I, their Christian body, will come, and we will be given assignments, which I'll tell you in a second, to govern this earth until we get to the new heaven and new earth. But here's the thing. Man, I wouldn't want to be on this side of it. Because demonic activity happens today. There are a lot of evil in this world. We saw evil yesterday shooting up a synagogue. He was going there saying, kill all the Jews. It's, the temperature of this is already here. And the Bible says that's a sign of the time to culminate to the final act. But right now, Satan is restrained a great deal. But when we are raptured out and the Holy Spirit is taken from this world, he has full reign. Nothing to stop him. And that's why we encourage folks to know Christ now before it's too late. Let me go into the millennial kingdom here. And I hadn't planned to spend a long time here because this is kind of an overview of this. And I really would love to spend more time in tribulation. And maybe that's what we do in January, is go through a lot of this, because my fear is I scare some people, or I get you thinking, and then we don't give you the tools to understand fully. So we're playing about that. And we'd love to hear your input about whether we should do a number two of this prophecy series coming up in the wintertime. So, Millennial Kingdom. I'm just going to read one chapter of the book of Revelation, chapter number 20, 1 through 15, and then I'll give you some points and we'll close out here. This is right after the Battle of Armageddon. This is when now Jesus Christ and those of us who are here to reign and rule with him are on the scene. I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, which is the Antichrist, the beast, Satan, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until 1,000 years were ended. And after that, he must be set free for a short time. I saw the thrones on which he was seated, those who had been given authority to judge. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God, those that were martyred. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and not taken or received the mark of on their foreheads or on their hand. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed are the holy and those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God, and of Christ will reign with him for 1,000 years. I had mentioned that we will reign for 1,000 years with Christ. When the 1,000 years is over, Satan will be released from his prison. It will go out to deceive the nations to the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them for battle. They are like the sand of the seashore. They march across the breadth of the earth and surround the camps of God's people and the city he loves. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence. There was no place for them to hide, no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead that were in it, and the dead in Hades gave up their dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what they had done. The death in Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is a second death. Anyone whose name is not found in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. And what this is, real briefly, I'll give you some points here. I'll probably mention it again. 1,000-year reign, Christ comes back. We will rule and reign with him. There will be folks that get through the tribulation. Some that will be martyred during that time. But then that is going to grab this serpent, Satan, is going to lock him away and call it a holding cell for 1,000 years. He's going to cast away the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. But at the end of that 1,000 years, while we're ruling and reigning, they're going to have one last opportunity to go from all ends of the earth to try one last chance to attempt to deceive people. Those that are the elect, those that are saved, won't be able to be touched by this, but there will be folks there that, once again, all of this about salvation is about free will and free choice. God does never want to create robots. He created people with free will and free choice. And at the end of that, at the final battle of those that are following Satan's one last attempt, they will center around those of God's people, and they will try to do havoc and destroy us. At that time, fire will come from heaven and destroy all of them. And then Satan will be taken and put into the lake of fire and sealed forever and ever, never be heard of again. And that's when we start next week about the new heaven and new earth. But what it talks about the great white throne judgment, we talked about the judgment seat of Christ, which is a reviewing stand and an evaluation for Christians how we serve. It's not about your sins. They have been taken care of by Christ. The bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, is about giving reward, basically, to those Christian servants. The great white throne judgment in Revelation here is about the judgment on those who rejected Jesus Christ. And it's interesting that there's two books. The one book is the book of life, which means your name must be written down in the book of life if you're going to make it for all eternity in heaven. And that means being saved. The other part is another book. I do believe there's a judgment on those that were totally evil. I think on Adolf Hitler, there's going to be even more of a torment for him for the evilness that he did. But no matter what, that's the final judgment, and it's not based upon trying to barter your way out of it. Is simply, were you written down in the book of life? Now, here's the thing. I think that as soon as somebody's born, their name is written down in the book of life. And I think the moment that you die without Jesus Christ, it's erased. And so to me is, I hope your name's in the book of life because of your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Let me give you some key points here, and we're going to get done. First of all, Christ will sit on his throne and rule for 1,000 years, if you're taking notes there. Satan will be locked up during this time. Christians returning with Christ will rule over areas. Near the end, Satan will be released for a brief time to try one last time to deceive the world. Satan will finally be cast away. There will be a final judgment for all who reject Christ. And that takes us up until the new heaven and new earth, which we're going to close with next week. We'll give you the walk away. End times reveal judgment for those who reject Christ and joy for those that accept Christ. Simply put. You know, when we did this year, we've been saying every week, if you're new here with us a week, and a few folks are, to understand this whole thing, without going panicky over this one lesson, you had to hear the whole thing. I want you to know, when you hear some of the stuff here, it sounds like God is a great hateful God or whatever. But if you read the Bible in general and understand, you understand that he has done everything. The very fact that he has a 1,000-year period for folks that came through that tribulation to be able to follow God and not take the mark, he's done everything he can to give everybody a way out. And he's had an arch enemy, Satan. And if you don't believe that Satan is real, look at the things that have happened in society in the Middle Eastern future. I mean, it is so, so terrible. When someone takes about bombing people, and this is not choosing what political side, that's just wrong. There are a lot of politicians I don't like, but we need to pray for our leadership, and we wouldn't want anybody to do harm, even if somebody that you don't like. It's gotten stupid. Running into schools and shooting children is pure evil. And I understand and we need to deal with mental illness, and I truly believe that that's society's responsibility and that's the government's responsibility is to attack that. But on a spiritual point of view and a theological point of view, it's pure evil. And government will never legislate love and never vote out hate. So you might as well get over that part of it. And it's all there, and I truly believe in demonic activity, and I truly believe in all these things, and I see it more and more. If you don't think the times are near, then you're not watching the clock. So when I talk to you saying, if you're new to all this information, you may sound, wow, that sounds kind of horrible. If you listen to the whole series, you might understand it better, but here's this. God had his hand of grace from beginning to end, offering opportunity after opportunity for everybody to avoid any of this. And you can't blame God because you didn't take it when the opportunity is there. Let's bow our heads with a word of prayer. Next week we'll get into the new heaven and new earth and describe that. And the people always ask me, why does it have to be a new heaven and new earth? Why can't God use this? Because this earth has been so corrupted. And God can't have anything to do with corruption, that the new heaven and new earth has to be totally holy. And you're going to love the lesson next week. And then in 2 weeks, Pastor Tony will be speaking. And by the way, that will also be Veterans Day, so we invite veterans to be here. But I hope this has been eye-opening. I said before, we're doing a series of prophecy in 6 weeks. The fearful thing is that we get people confused more now, or asking questions. Well, asking questions is good. Small groups are studying some of this during the week, so hopefully they're answering some questions. But here's the thing. I hope it made you hungry to learn what this is all about. It made you think about your own spiritual condition and your family's spiritual condition. Where are they? Where are they? And because this is serious stuff, so let's pray. Father, we thank you for just your word. God, I pray once again, especially this week, Lord, I shared so much scripture, so much information that my fear is I just get into the weeds and confuse people. But God, I hope that if they have questions, they will reach out to myself or Pastor Tony or others that understand this, Lord. And God, I just want to be able to provoke our thinking that this is serious stuff. And these are what your scriptures say. And sometimes when folks hear the word Armageddon or the 666, they think it's all made up stuff, that somebody's just goofing around. And now folks here see it in Scripture, the actual number, 666. That it's not just something from some horror movie in the 1960s or some criminal acts that were written on a wall, that it's an actual sign of demonic things. And God, I just hope that, Lord, it makes us want to learn more and do more. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.